Welcome back to Hey Camp Greenville. Today we're taking a trip back in time as we explore the history of the Thomas Parker Lodge, a place that has stood the test of time, holding countless memories within its walls. And we have a very special guest joining us, Corey Harrison, Vice President of Overnight Camping, who has the inside scoop on the lodge. So, wherever you are, let's step into the past together. All right. Well, thank you so much, Corey, for coming on the podcast today. I'm super excited. Today we're going to be talking about the Thomas Parker Lodge at camp. And as we've talked about before, this is our 100th year on the mountain. So we just thought we could sit down and talk about one of the most interesting places, in my opinion, on camp that is just full of, you know, rich history and just it's really special because there's not anything. I mean, every camp has their own thing that sets them apart. But when you think about the reach that Camp Greenville has within the lodge specifically, it's just really cool. And it's just a really good kind of time capsule.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm super excited to talk about it as well. The Thomas Parker Lodge is my favorite place at camp. It's also the most historic place at camp. It is the first building built at Camp Greenville, first permanent building built at Camp Greenville, and still is alive and well today, 100 years later. And I think you explained it very well to call it a time capsule, because that's what it really is. And I'm excited to talk about what's in that time capsule, how we got the time capsule, what makes it very special, and what the future of it looks like.
Yeah, that's exciting. So if you're tuning in today and listening and you actually haven't been inside of Camp's Lodge, it's kind of just this building, and we've posted pictures on social media about it. But when you walk inside, if you look at the walls, it's like a stone building. If you look around the walls, there are like things that are like inlaid in the wall, embedded in the wall. And they all came about a really cool letter writing campaign from Monk Mulligan, correct? No. And Thomas Parker?
No, neither. So this is great. This is an educational opportunity. No, Monk didn't come to camp until a little bit later. So camp was being run in 1912 is when we started camp. So when we talk about the 100 year, we're talking about the 100 years of camp. We're talking about the 100 years on the mountain, which I think we've been pretty clear about. But 3 years after we opened and kind of floundered to three different locations, we landed in a place called Blythe Shoals. And what's really cool about this is I just visited 3 days ago the original site of Camp Greenville at Blythe Shoals. There are cabins still there from when we were there. There's a pavilion still there, and it's privately owned now, but the owners gave me a tour, and it was amazing. We were there for 10 years, then we moved here in 1925, and that's when the lodge started. But it was all started by camp director Uncle Johnny Holmes. And so Uncle Johnny was here and leading camp at the time, and it was a letter-writing campaign. You're correct about that. And the boys of Camp Greenville at the time wrote to people all over the world. And so when you talk about the things that are embedded in the walls, there's actually 1,600 artifacts embedded into all of the walls from this letter-writing campaign.
It's really interesting. Something that I think was so cool about the lodge when I first walked in there, because I came on a tour last spring with my parents, and Alyssa showed us around, and she showed us the lodge. And we went in there, and we were looking at all the things, and it kind of felt like, you know how like there's like things that are like missing that like people have taken out of the walls? Like, I really thought that was cool, because it's like, it felt like I was like, not in like a pristine museum, or obviously like I would love to have whatever that thing was that's still on the wall, but it's just really cool to think about like you're a part, like it makes you feel like you're a part of the history. Or it kind of felt like I was like going into like King Tut's like tomb after it was stolen. So I just thought that was really cool.
Because it would be easy to like just put it behind plexiglass.
Yeah.
Right? Like to protect it differently, or, you know, just whatever. But there is something to being able to touch it. Mm-hmm. And every camper comes here and can touch the stones, because a lot of it is rocks or stones that help build the lodge from different areas as well. So, yeah, I think that's very cool.
Yeah, and I was like thinking about every Sunday before our campers arrive, we do our staff meeting in there. And I just like think about all the times, Like, you just sit in there and it's really easy to forget the history behind it, or like, you just don't realize, like, oh, this is really cool. Like, you mentioned that, like, a piece of the White House roof is in our lodge. And, like, I'm like, I've never been to D.C. And, like, I've never even seen the White House with my own two eyes. But, like, I have, because I've been in the lodge. So it's like, or, like, there's a letter from Gandhi in there, correct?
Correct.
And so, like, it's like, oh, my goodness. Like, I think it also, like, is cool to, I don't know, think about how we interact with camp, but also like the world and the like history that came before us. So it's really easy to like forget about that, but then you sit in the lodge for like, I don't know, 1 minute and you realize, oh my gosh, like I'm interacting with pieces of history that I probably wouldn't have gotten to like interact with if I was like just anywhere else.
Yeah, and I sometimes wonder when I'm in there if like, did they know 100 years ago? Like how important this thing or that person would be, like thinking about Gandhi, for instance, and his letter is a, what he gave was a letter to the boys of Camp Greenbow. And it says that to the boys of Camp Greenbow. And one of the things that he says in the letter is very, very short, but it says it talks about kindness over something. And it's just like I can't remember off the top of my head, but him sending this like personal message. Did we know who Gandhi would be in our world and how we hold him up at the time? Did they know that? So it's really interesting to think about that and how special it is to us, but maybe at the time it was just normal people in the world. But if it's okay, I'd love to tell you about why we did the project.
Yeah.
So the project wasn't just about we need a rock building at camp. It was more about we want to create a building that sets a message from early on. And so in the first volume, page one of the lodge books, there are these books that go with this project. And the books were put together shortly after the project after the rocks were put in the wall to kind of talk about it and make it track its history. And the books were called the World Friendship Project. And I'm going to share with you kind of a quote that comes from the dedication. So of the building, 1932. So this is a 7-year project, 1925 to 1932. And I want to share with you what it says in the dedication plaque that's on the outside of the building, and also what was read by Uncle Johnny at the time. Because here's how he started his speech, and I just love this so much. The world has been ruled by force, fear, and selfishness long enough. It's time to try honesty, justice, and kindness. Aren't you glad that the world isn't like the 1920s anymore? And yet, it's so relevant. War should cease, he said. Righteousness and love should rule. The boys of the United States should study the peoples of the world to understand them and appreciate the good in other nations. All human beings are of infinite value, we believe, in the eyes of God. As the 19th century made a neighborhood, the 20th century shall make it a brotherhood. For the nations of the world are so closely interwoven that what affects one affects all. And I can just imagine what affects Poland affects the United States as this was being written. What affects Ukraine affects us. Each future war will be more horrible than the one preceding it. This lodge, named for Thomas F. Parker, Uncle Johnny said, is dedicated to international goodwill and understanding. May all who come beneath its roof leave with a kindlier regard of all nations and all races. Come on. Yeah. I added that last part. Let's go, right? Like, that is all nations and all races. This is 1932, Greenville, South Carolina. At the heart and history of this camp is inclusion and diversity. And we should not be running from that as a camp ever. And so it is amazing to me to be a part of a place whose history ages well in a world where some things don't age so well. And so that's what the building is all about. It was about international goodwill and friendship. It was about equality for all races. And I am proud that we have a building that signifies that and stands for that.
It's just, I don't know. I just think about the generations of campers that have gone through there. And it's like, man, I hope we're like, I hope we're doing that. And it's just interesting to think about, like, he was not only thinking about camp that he knew at that time, he's thinking about camp. Hopefully he was thinking about it 100 years from then, but, you know.
Yeah. So do you want to talk about some of the artifacts that are in the building?
Oh, yeah.
So I have some favorites. I don't know if you mentioned the letter from Gandhi. So the, we were for the White House. So it seems like maybe these are some of your favorites. I think for those of us that have spent time in the Thomas Parker Lodge, there are some things that we really love. And so certainly those are those. There is a piece of the U.S. Capitol floor when it caught on fire July 31st, 28, 29. That's really cool. There is an entire stone from the Lincoln Memorial. How do you get a stone off of the Lincoln Memorial? That would get you arrested today. And yet we have a stone from the Lincoln Memorial. But I will tell you, the Wright brothers sent something in. But one of the things that I think is my favorite is sort of a more modern take. I was sent a letter from something called the Streatham Society, the Streatham Historical Society. And this society is dedicated to blah, 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 Streatham. I can't remember what his name is. We'll call him Old Man Streatham. Okay. And Old Man Streatham had a house that was built out of the London Bridge, the original London Bridge. And there is a historical society in England dedicated to Old Man Streatham. Well, they wrote me a letter saying, in our historical documents, Old Man Streatham was a very wealthy man, and they found a document that said that he buried a significant amount of gold into a brick, hollowed out a brick into a brick, and that brick was sent to the Rock Lodge on the banks of the Rotary Lake in America. Do you still have this stone? And so I'm like, well, that's very interesting, right? Like, our lake is called Lake Rotary, the stone lodge sits there. And sure enough, in our wall is the 17th century London Bridge brick. It's a stone brick type thing. And I have not excavated it from the wall, but at some point, my hope is to maybe excavate it and just look. I'm sure it's all just rumor and story, but just very cool that, like, this history is 100 years old, and, like, in this wall might be this block of gold that none of us know about, and we might get that new dining hall we all want.
I was, like, curious how long ago, like, when did you receive the letter?
It was about a decade ago.
Oh, okay.
Less than a decade ago.
Yeah. It's interesting. They weren't like, we want it back. Or were they like, we want it back? They were like,
I think they just wanted to know, is it actually there? Does it exist today? It was more from that standpoint. They were not asking for the gold back. We will not report whether there was gold in there or not, but there will be signs.
That's so funny. Yeah,
there'll be signs of a new dining hall built at camp. That's one of my favorites. There are others. Of course, there's lots of camps. Y camps that sent in things from their camps, which was really cool. Yesterday, I had a visitor from YMC Camp Fitch in Pennsylvania or Ohio who came, and they wanted to see the stone that was given 100 years ago by their camp. And so I showed them that, and there's a lot of camps that don't any longer exist, which is sad. But we have that monument to them in our walls.
I feel like if we did that today, like, do you think we would get the same amount of reaction with, like, just the way, like when you think about, like publicity, you know what I mean? Because, like, these, like you said, this project took, like, 7 years, years. So it's, like, these people wouldn't see anything about it if they didn't know. Yep. Like, it wasn't like, okay, this will be done by this date and blah, 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 blah. So it's just really interesting to think about, like, that these people just received this letter and they're like, okay, yeah, like, I'm going to send a piece of the original London Bridge across the ocean to this place where I may never get to see it. And so I'm just like, it just makes me just think, like, do we think we could boot something like that off today?
Well, I have an answer to that. But I would say it had to be significantly more challenging back then. There's a piece of
from a stone that's very large from Solomon's temple in the Middle East. How did they get that? How do you get a stone? I don't know how to mail a stone today. If I walked in a USPS, UPS, or something, and I'm like, I have this big rock, I would like to send it. That would be very expensive. So think about how they did it back then. It's crazy. It's funny that you bring up, could we pull it off today? Because I have been wondering, should we? Not could we. Like, do we have a responsibility to start the 1600 artifact collection over the next 7 years for the next 100 years? That somebody in 100 years would look back and say, wow, I didn't know that this thing from this random person in college or high school, 100 years later, they're the person that cured cancer, and you have an artifact, you have something from, you have their first vial or their first, you know, cell slide or something in your wall, and that's what started, or like we just wouldn't know. Mm-hmm. And I have been thinking a lot about whether we should do that or not. If like a project over the next 6 or 7 years for us should be collect the next 1600 artifacts and put them in the walls as well. Yeah, and I one of the things I wanted to make sure that we talked about was, you mentioned earlier, was it built by Thomas Parker? Mm-hmm. Which is interesting. So there's this sign up in the like a stone engraved over the door that says THOS.F.Parker, right? Thos F. Parker, which is, I guess, how they abbreviated. You abbreviated first name back then to like Thos and yeah. F. Parker. Thomas F. Parker was interesting. So he really had nothing to do with the building. It was dedicated in his honor. So who was Thomas F. Parker? No, Thomas F. Parker is a mill owner. Greenville was built in the textile mill industry. There are many mills still around. He was a mill owner. He was the board chair for the YMCA of Greenville and very close with Uncle Johnny when he started the project. In the dedication event day documents, it says that Thomas Parker was a pioneer. He cared nothing for set plans. His desire was to take the thing that was most needed to be done, which no one else would do, and set himself actively and tenaciously to that task. And I just find that quote so fascinating. He had no desire for set plans. What needs to be done and get it done. And I just think that is incredibly fascinating. After resigning from his mill, his main activities were with the work of the Salvation Army. And I'm quoting from a book from 1931. His work, it was after resigning from the mill, his main activities were work with the Salvation Army, work with the Negroes, and work with the public library. His assistance to the Salvation Army was largely responsible for the erection of the Salvation Army Hospital in Greenville, now known as the Bon Secours Hospital, St. Francis Hospital. His work within the Negro community resulted in the establishment of the Phyllis Wheatley Association, of which he was the chairman, at a mass meeting of Negroes assembled at the Phyllis Wheatley Center for the memorial service after his death. A leading Negro said, "This is the only time in the history of Greenville County and in the history of Greenville County that the Negroes have assembled to pay tribute to a white man." So, like, his impact was cross-cultural in our society of Greenville, known for building bridges where so many were segregating. Thomas Parker, Uncle Johnny, were building bridges. The symbol of Greenville is a bridge. We're known as Bridge City, is what we're often called. And it's amazing to me that it's so much at the heart of who Camp Greenville was, so much so that this community of people who were marginalized and abused at the time said, it's the only time that we've come together to pay tribute to a white man. That's the impact that Thomas Parker had. He launched the Greenville Public Library on a new basis for libraries. In this section, he rented a store in a main business part of the city. He employed an inspired librarian and built up now one of the most outstanding libraries in the country is in Greenville. And so Uncle Johnny said it is exceedingly appropriate that this lodge, symbolizing friendships of nations, should be dedicated to Mr. Parker, for he sincerely tried to be as comprehensive and as inclusive, his words, not mine, 1931, as inclusive in his service to people. Mr. Parker's help and kindness were extended to all men, regardless of race, creed, or color. To him, the teachings of Jesus were not impractical ideals, but the working program of everyday life. He devoted his money, his time, his thought, and himself to the actual inauguration of the kingdom of God here on earth. And I think that no greater words can be spoken of somebody than those words there.
It's just really cool. And I know I haven't been part of the Camp Greenville family for like very long, but it makes me just proud to be a part of, like, you know, I feel this responsibility to, like, I owe it to, like, Thomas Parker to, like, keep that, what he lived for and what he did with his life, keep that alive and continue that. So,
yeah. And that's the challenge you and I have as leaders of this camp and our team and our campers and our families. Will we be the kind of camp we were set out to be? Will we be the kind of camp that embraces all? Right, that's part of the mission of the YMCA of Greenville. Our mission statement of the YMCA of Greenville says, following the example of Christ, we build spirit, mind, and body for all. It is at the heart of who we were 100 years ago, probably 125 years ago even, when the Y started. It's at the heart of who we are now. And you and I have a deep responsibility to carry that tradition on of creating places where people feel like they belong and where everyone is accepted. And that's a heavy burden that we carry. And yet it's a burden that I think matters most in our world today.
How lucky are we to get to, you know, work towards that and like to give those opportunities to campers and just like be able to have the impact in the community that, you know, if we weren't driven by that mission, would that be the case? Would we be able to provide those opportunities? So
yeah, absolutely.
Sweet. Is there anything else that you would like to touch on before we wrap up?
If like you're listening and you're like, I just want to know more about her, I'd love to see it, just find me. There's nothing I love more than talking about Uncle Johnny Holmes and talking about the lodge. And I would be happy to do that and happy to show it to anybody who wants to see it.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Corey, for just talking about the lodge today and for educating me, because I didn't know much about the lodge, and it was really powerful to like hear what has been written about all of the amazing people that have, you know, been the foundation of Camp Greenville. So thank you so much.
Yeah, and I hope that we can talk again, and maybe next time we'll talk about Uncle Johnny and who he was, who built the lodge, and we'll talk about some of the things that he wrote. And some of the things that got him put on public trial and how he survived that trial in the 1920s and why.
What an incredible journey through time. A huge thank you to Corey Harrison for sharing his knowledge and passion for our beloved lodge. It's amazing to think about all the people that have passed through its doors. If you have your own favorite lodge memory, we'd love to hear it. Send us a message or share it on social media. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time.